The title of this message is To Nurture and Be Nurtured. In Genesis 1:28, we find that God blessed Adam and Eve, and by extension, all of mankind, to be fruitful, multiply, and subdue the earth. This blessing occurred in the form of the family. I tried to keep a little bit in with the theme for the day so far. Being a father, mother, and offspring. The cycle to be repeated and repeated and repeated to fulfill God's blessing for mankind to have dominion over all things on this earth. We also learn clearly later on that God expected families to love Him and learn all of His ways. Parents being diligent to use every available moment to teach God's ways to their children. We can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, a very familiar scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Which reads in verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. That's where God wanted those words, those commands. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That sounds like just about all the time. It's a good lesson in how much effort it takes to train our children. And it wasn't just a one-way street. God reserved an entire commandment, the fifth commandment, to have the command for children to obey their parents. Ephesians 6 reiterates what was given in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, where in Ephesians 6, verse 1, it reads, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. That's a direct reference to Exodus 20 and verse 12. We also believe that human life begins at conception. Mommy starts eating for two, naturally. But if Dad starts eating for two, it's for other reasons. As Christians, we learn that the human family unit is meant to reflect the qualities of the spiritual family of God. The Father was revealed to us by our brother and high priest, Jesus Christ, and we are further revealed to be, we ourselves, the begotten children of the Father. 1 John 5:8. Turn to 1 John 5:8. This is very important to understand. In 1 John 5:8, we know that whoever is, it says, born in the New King James Version, that can be translated begotten. And rightfully so, we know whoever is begotten of God does not sin or does not practice sin. But he who has been begotten of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. Notice it's the Spirit of God bearing witness with the spirit of man, that us particular people, the people of God, that we are the children of God. So we're begotten, we're not born yet, but we're His children, nevertheless. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And of course, we know that's the first resurrection. So we have a Father, and each of us who are repentant, baptized, and Holy Spirit-filled are His begotten children. But where's Mom? We've talked about the Father, we've talked about the Son. And then this family example we have in the human realm, where's mom? Does an entity exist in our lives as Christians that is motherly? Mr. Martin's brought this up in his seminar. I think maybe the most direct association with motherhood is found in Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 26, it reads, "But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." We are the spiritual Israel of God. We are the congregation of God. We are the church of God. And this can be researched further, but you will find this association of the church and the acts of a mother. You know, let's think of ourselves, a young man or woman goes off to college. They're not qualified according to the customs of this nation in this particular scenario, not qualified for a profession they're interested in. They go to college and they learn their profession and they are tested and they are proven and then they graduate. Now they're a professional. They go get a job. They work in their profession. They get together with their work associates and one work associate says, "Well, who's your alma mater? Who's your alma mater?" That doesn't sound English. It's Latin, and it means nurturing mother. But what they're asking is, what university did you go to? What place did you go to that took you as a person who knew nothing about your profession and trained you and graduated you up so that you could be a professional? Which one took care of you? What university did you go to? Well, the church is like that. It's a network of people, a network of brethren that behaves like a nurturing mother. Yet each person being a part of the whole church is individually a begotten child of God, nurtured in the womb of that church. All of us here in this room are the church. Now, we know we belong to a greater group of people called the Church of God, but the commanded assembly for us is right here. We're here today. Okay? And yet, there's one person, two, three, four, five, there's multiple people here. Each is an individual, and each is a begotten child of God. Now, I asked a few people some questions. I went up to Mr. Hawk, and I said, "How old are you?" He just said, right away, 90. 90 years old. "How many years have you been baptized?" 40. It's a long time. "Were you raised in the church?" I already knew the answer. No, not raised in the church. So I asked Mr. Schultz, same thing, 30, baptized 10 years. "Yes, raised in the church." I asked about Tiffany, and she's 29, been baptized 11 years. "Yes, raised in the church." Little Malachi is 11 months old. He's not baptized, but he's been raised in the church. Okay, and then Merlan. Merlan is 73 years old, just recently. She's been baptized 3 years almost. She's been within the body of Christ for 3 years as a baptized member. And no, she's not raised in the church. What are you gathering from this? Each individual is a very unique person with very unique experiences, sometimes a long life being called into the church later, sometimes a long life having been in the church a long time, sometimes raised in the church, all these different qualities, each in the nurturing care of all of us. with the access to God's Spirit. Okay? That's one thing that everybody in this room who is willingly here or has a parent here is being called by God, worked with by God through God's Holy Spirit. Like, for instance, Malachi. We could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 14. And this is a worst case scenario where one parent's not in the church, the other is. So the best case scenario also works when we go with it through this scripture when both parents are in. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, which means in the world, belonging to Satan. Just like anybody in the world that doesn't know God, they would be unclean. But now, by God's will, they are holy. Our children in the church are holy to God, set apart and worked with by His Spirit. So every person here today in this assembly, called the Church of God, if here by choice or here before because of a parent, is both part of the church in its is part of the church in its motherly capacity, and also is within the womb, if you can imagine. Think about it as the body. You're not the womb, you're the church. You're this entity, this motherly entity. But as an individual, you are a begotten, conceived child of God. So you are part of the church, and you are being nurtured by the church as the individual. I selected individuals where they're nurturers. But then when that individual wasn't discussed anymore in another one, well, that individual became part of the nurturing church for that other individual. Why is that? Are our children and prospective members willful citizens of heaven yet? No, not yet. But are our children and prospective members citizens of the church? Yeah, they sure are. How? The reason is so... because of God's Spirit. All of us have in common the human spirit. We did at conception, not at birth, at conception. And all of us, if being called by God, and that includes being set apart by God as children, are called by the Father through His Spirit. And God's Holy Spirit is quite versatile. Let's reference Exodus 31 for a moment. I won't go there. I don't have time. This was a much longer message. Exodus 31, members of the house of Judah were filled with God's Spirit, but not for conversion. It was so they would have the wisdom and the knowledge to create the vessels and the tables and the ark of God as God designed it to be, so they could actually visualize and know exactly what God wanted. In 1 Samuel 10, the Holy Spirit came upon King Saul, and he prophesied. In Luke 1, the Holy Spirit was given to John the Baptist, it appears, 6 months in the womb, beginning of the third trimester. Now, there's another translation that could mean, you know, it came into his mother at that point. It could mean he was born and it came to him. But hey, come on. A little child was given God's Spirit to accomplish a particular task, to prepare the way of the Lord and to preach repentance. God's Spirit is in the church of God witnessing to our spirit the things of God. And we, the church, must behave in a nurturing way towards each other. To each member of the church. The church not only preaches the gospel, remember, but also prepares a people. And that preparation is to enter into eternal life. Church should always be a place of warmth and safety for each of its members. I'm grateful to be in this one because y'all are warm and kind and encouraging. And it's an ideal assembly for receiving both the milk and the meat of the Word of God and with proper guidance. We can realize that if we, as a person, as an individual, as someone who claims to be begotten of God, reject our spiritual mother, the church, is to reject fellowship with saints, with the brethren. If you reject the church, you reject that fellowship, you reject that instruction through the church. And to reject these siblings is to reject our brother, Jesus Christ, the head of the church. And to reject Christ is to reject our Father in heaven, who calls us out of this world in the first place. We're all very unique individuals with a common human spirit, all drawn to God by His Holy Spirit. So while the church endeavors, it really should try and is admonished to endeavor to take on a motherly, nurturing role, nourishing, comforting, and protecting each member, let every conceived child of God take it upon themselves to appreciate, honor, and love one another. You know, we've got this, making analogies here. If you are in the womb of the church as an analogy, how are you connected? In technical terms, that would be an umbilical cord, right? We are taught the milk and the meat of the word. It's the truth. Anybody can read the truth. People can go their whole lives reading the truth. They can be in this evil world. They can be in this cold world and get truth and even live by it and benefit from it. But if they're not in the church by choice, that's all they got. Jesus came to reveal the Father and give His people their spirit. That spirit helps the church digest that milk and the meat, put it through the umbilical cord and the perfect nutrients so that we can learn God's spiritual approach to the truth, the godliness that is built into the truth that only He can reveal to us. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 for the last scripture. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, that you could put right there, conception, begotten. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Not the individual, but the whole church in all of us. And may God bless us all as one body that nurtures each member. And may each member honor the church where we are being formed into a new creation to be born into the kingdom of God.